I hope that you've been blessed. Are you full, though? Or can you have more blessing today? All right. Well, let me begin with a story. Years ago, back when I was a teenager, just about 5 years ago or so, not sure why you're laughing, I worked the most dangerous job at the Adventureland amusement park when I was a teenager. You see, I was a games employee. We worked at those games where you spend money and money and money to try to win that precious stuffed animal that you just have to have. You wouldn't need it if it was in a store, but since it's up there and there's a little task to try to win it, you'll spend any amount of money to do it. Those are the jobs that I worked when I was a teenager in the summertime. Now you're probably thinking, that doesn't really sound like a dangerous job at all. Oh, it is. Let me explain. You see, each day we would run a different game. They would assign you to a different game. And some days I would be assigned to a game called Age or Weight. And at that game, it is in fact the most dangerous job in the whole park. Because that was the game where a guest could come up to you as the game's employee and they would pay you a dollar. Back in those days, it was just a dollar. And they would ask you to guess their age or their weight. So as the park employee, we had to try to guess their people's ages within 1 year or their weight within 3 pounds. And again, you're probably thinking, this doesn't sound like a really dangerous game for the game's employee. But here it is. You see, sometimes a woman would come up and want to play the game. And she would come forward and pay her dollar. So now it was my job to guess her age within a year. Or it gets even better, or worse, I mean, to guess her weight within 3 pounds. Friends, both guesses could land you in the hospital if you guess wrong. And you had to make these guesses publicly. You had a microphone on you so that the other guests could hear it as well. And there was a big scale behind that everyone had to stand on, which did discourage a few people from asking for their weight to be guessed. But, yeah, live microphone. Everybody, I'm lucky to be alive today, I'll tell you. I remember one time I had one gal who came up. She gave me her dollar, and she asked me to guess her age. And so we had a little pad of paper so that we weren't cheating. I would write down my guess, and I was no expert on ages. I was a teenager. I had no frame of reference for how old people were. And weight, I weighed 100 and nothing at that moment in time. So I had no frame of reference for how much anybody would weigh. So I wrote down my guess. And I asked her, okay, so what's your age? She told me her age. And I said, hey, you're a winner. Go get a prize. And she said, what'd you guess? And I said, you can pick any prize you want. And she said, I want to know what you guessed. She said, I want to know. And I said, no, you can go pick your prize. And then she put her hands on her hips. Now, for those of you who are too young to know, when the female of the human species puts her hands on the hips, this is the universal sign that the male of the species is in great danger. Big trouble. She said, I want to know what you guessed. So I showed her. That lady almost tackled me right there playing the game. I barely survived the encounter. Fortunate to be here today. Dangerous job I had as a teenager. Now you're asking, what does that story have anything to do with our Bible or our current sermon series on reasons to believe the Bible? Well, let's pretend for a moment before I answer that. Let's pretend that we are all at Adventureland and we're all at age or weight. And I'm the game's employee. And each of you asked me to guess your age or your weight. And so I start guessing. Who wants to go first? I got a few guesses, but they're all kids. So I start guessing, and I guess your age, and it's spot on perfect to the very year. Now, how many of you would say, wow, that Pastor Michael, he must have like superpowers? How many would think that, would be like shocked that I got one age right? There's a few. Okay, but most of you wouldn't think that I had anything special going on. But what if I went and I guessed someone else's age? Spot on right. And I kept going, and I got another one, and someone said, well, guess my weight. And I guessed it, boom, to the very pound. And I kept going. I got them, everyone right. Now, how many would I have to get right before you would say, well, this is not luck. Somehow he knows this stuff. How many would you have to hear? Take it. How many would you? Just shout it out. 100? Wow. 10? 10 maybe? What if I got 25 right? Would you say, whoa, something's going on? What if I got 48 of them right? That's not enough for that one. That one over there is, she's serious. But think in your mind, at what point could you no longer not believe? But you'd have to say, something's going on. See, the point here is the more guesses that I get right without any wrong guesses, the less likely it is that my guesses are just random luck. The more predictions that I make that come true, the more likely something supernatural is happening. The more likely you have to believe in the unbelievable. And that fact is another reason for why we can believe the Bible. Because this book is full of amazing predictions. It's full of prophecies. And the fulfillment of these prophecies help us believe even in the unbelievable. You may have heard of Occam's razor before. William Occam came up with this idea. He said, with all things being equal, the simplest explanation tends to be the right one. The simplest explanation, when you factor all things in, that's probably the correct answer. Well, friends, there's nothing simple about the answer of the Bible, is there? There's nothing simple about the claim that the God of heaven came to this earth and was born as a human being. That's not a simple answer. The story that says that he lived among us, that he died and rose again, that is not a simple answer. So many have thrown out the notion of Jesus as God, dying for our sins. They say it's too far-fetched. It's not a simple enough of an answer. So is there anything in the Bible that would help us to believe the unbelievable? Yes, there is. And it's prophecy. Fulfilled prophecies. Remember the example of me making exactly correct guesses of ages and weights? After so many fulfilled predictions, the believable becomes likely and believable. So let's look in the Bible this morning, and let's look at some of the most amazing prophecies this book has, and let's see if we can find a reason to believe. Now, if someone were to ask you, what book in the Bible caused you to believe in God? What book is it? Let's have a few people shout it out. Say, Daniel, okay. Isaiah. Any other books that is just your favorite? Say, that's the book that caused me to believe. Anyone else? So on this side? Isaiah. I'm hearing a few more. If someone were to ask me, what book of the Bible caused you to believe, Pastor? The answer is simple. I know it right away. It's the book of Daniel. It's an amazing book. Jesus in the Gospels actually told us to learn it and to study it, to know what it taught. And in Daniel chapter 2, we find an amazing prophecy that stretches from Daniel's time all the way down to our time today. We find a dream that happens from the king. He sees a statue in his dream, and it represents, Daniel tells us, kingdoms from Babylon to Medo-Persia to Greece and to Rome. And Daniel predicted them all. Now, amazing as that prophecy, as that prediction is, predicting four empires, it gets even better. If that's not enough for you. Because after correctly predicting hundreds of years of history in advance with the rise and fall of empires, Daniel chapter 2, verse 41 does something amazing. And why don't you go ahead and turn there, and if you've got your Bibles with you, We're going to be looking through our Bibles today. So turn with me to Daniel chapter 2, verse 41. And after making this amazing prediction about the rise and the falls of empires, Daniel does something that we wouldn't expect. Chapter 2, verse 41 of the book of Daniel. He says, "Whereas you saw the feet and the toes of the statue, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided." The prophecy predicts that the fourth empire, as strong as it was, is not going to fall to another kingdom, but it's going to be divided. And that's exactly what happened to the powerful Roman Empire. How in the world could someone predict that in detail by chance? But friends, if that's not enough, it gets better. Because if you wanted a short answer to the question that is, how does a rock and roll DJ end up a Seventh-day Adventist pastor? The short answer is Daniel chapter 9. If Daniel 2 is not amazing enough for you, Daniel 9 ought to do it. I can remember watching a sermon, the first sermon I watched, and I was watching it in my room at college about Daniel 9, and the pastor on the TV explain Daniel's time prophecy that we find in chapter 9. And if you thought chapter 2 was amazing, hold on to your seat. Because in Daniel chapter 9, verse 25, there's this prediction. It says, "Know therefore and understand from the going forth of the decree," or the command, "to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem." So that's a starting point. "Until the Messiah, the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks." Now, there's the prophecy. It says, gives us our starting point from the decree to rebuild Jerusalem until the Messiah comes, says there will be a total of 69 prophetic weeks. And I'm going to give you a Cliff Notes version of this today, friends. If you'd like to know more about it, let me know. We'll study it out together, or you can get the Thunder DVDs and watch it. But when you take those prophetic weeks and you use what Ezekiel laid out, that a day, a symbolic day equals a literal year from Ezekiel 4:6, you find out that those 69 weeks actually symbolize 483 years. So the decree came to rebuild Jerusalem, and that came in 457 BC. You can find that in the book of Ezra. And then if you move forward in time, 483 years, it takes us to 27 AD. The Bible calls it the 15th year of Tiberius Caesar. And in 27 AD, exactly on time when Daniel predicts it, the Messiah is anointed. Jesus of Nazareth was baptized and anointed by the Holy Spirit in 27 AD. When I first learned this, I was sitting on the edge of my bed, like all of you do every Sabbath when you're listening, just slack-jawed, eyes wide as saucers. I said, how? How can the Bible predict that? But friends, it gets better. If that's not enough guesses for you, because maybe Daniel hasn't had enough guesses correct for you, the Bible goes on in Daniel chapter 9, verse 26 and 27. It says that the Messiah will be cut off after that time. And in the midst of the week, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. So 3.5 years after being baptized, Jesus dies on the cross for your sins and my sins, putting an end to a need for sacrifices, and he died right on time. At this point, I wasn't sitting on my bed anymore. I was walking around, pacing the room. How could the Bible writer predict that, I wondered. The conclusion I came to: the Bible is real. And I found a reason to believe. But if that's not enough for you, it gets even better. If those prophecies, if those predictions are still not enough for you, well then, my friend, buckle up, because I'm going to show you something that should knock you flat today. We looked at two very specific prophecies about Jesus, but we have just scratched the surface. Some of you may have heard of Professor Peter Stoner. He was a professor of science, mathematics, and astronomy at several different colleges. And he wrote an amazing book called Science Speaks, Scientific Proof of the Accuracy of the Prophecy of the Bible. And you can check it out online. Incredible book. Professor Stoner and his students did a project together, and they calculated the probability that someone would, by random chance, fulfill the Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah. And friends, scholars believe there are hundreds of prophecies in the Old Testament predicting what we celebrate this time of year, the first advent of the Messiah, Jesus. There are hundreds there. But Professor Stoner and his students started small. They were going to calculate the chances that someone could fulfill these prophecies by chance or by accident. So to begin, his students and him looked at just 8 of those prophecies, just 8 predictions in the Old Testament. And all of these 8 prophecies were fulfilled by Jesus. Was it just an accident? Let's look at the chances that it was. If you got your Bible there, turn to Micah chapter 5, if you would. Micah is just a little ways back from Daniel. After Hosea, you'll find Micah chapter 5, and this is the prediction of the Christmas story. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. It says, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel." And check the end of this verse. "Whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting." Here is the prophecy that the Messiah would come and be born in Bethlehem. What are the chances that that happens? What's the amount of people that's been born in Bethlehem throughout Earth's history? Keeps going in Malachi chapter 3. If you want to find Malachi, it's right in front of Matthew in your Bible. Last book of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3 is the next prophecy that they looked at, the professor and his students. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Behold, I send a messenger, and he will prepare the way before me." So before the Messiah comes, a messenger is going to be sent. Was there a messenger who came before Jesus? Yes, there was. His name is John the Baptist. It was fulfilled. The next prophecy is in Zechariah. If you turn in your Bibles to Zechariah, if you can't find it, it's real easy. It's right by Zephaniah. So you find Zephaniah, you're really close. Now, just a couple books closer to the front from Malachi. Actually, it's just right in front of Malachi, I believe. You'll find Zechariah, and there's several in Zechariah that'll blow your mind. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So it says the Messiah, when he comes, he will enter Jerusalem as the ruler, riding on a donkey. So our chance question is, we're looking for someone born in Bethlehem who has a messenger who comes before and who enters Jerusalem as a ruler riding on a donkey. You know how many people who did that? I know one who did. But friends, it gets even better. Because Zechariah chapter 13, verse 6, gives another prophecy. What are the chances that all these things happen by accident? Zechariah chapter 13, verse 6 says, "And one will say to him, 'What are these wounds between your hands, between your arms?' And he will answer, 'Those which I was wounded in the house of my friends.'" The Bible predicts in the Old Testament that the Messiah would be wounded by his friends, by a friend, and it would happen in his hands. So now we're looking the world over for someone who is betrayed by a friend, and that betrayal must involve the wounding of hands. What are the chances of that happening? Well, hang on, friends. We've only done 4. Sticking in Zechariah chapter 11, verse 12, and it predicts that the Messiah will be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. We're not talking about general guesses. Can you get more specific than the type of money and the amount of money? Betrayed for 30 pieces of silver is what it says there in Zechariah chapter 11, verse 12. And then it even goes on. Can you get more specific? Yeah, the next verse, Zechariah chapter 11, verse 13. The professor and the students looked at it, And verse 13 says, "And the Lord said to me, throw the money into the potter, that princely price they set on me. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the Lord for the potter." Says the silver will be cast in the house of the Lord. That's exactly what Judas did with the money. He refused it, threw it back to them. And then that money was used to buy the potter's field. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 7 says the Messiah will be oppressed and afflicted, but will not open his mouth to defend himself. Has that ever happened in a court case? I know one time it did. And then the last of the eight prophecies they looked at, this is a good one to check. It's not in Zechariah, though. Psalm chapter 22 is the last of the eight. Psalm 22, verse 16. And it says, "For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet." Predicts that the Messiah will be crucified before there ever was crucifixion. So the predicted Messiah has to fulfill all eight of these and has to be crucified. So then the professor took the chances that all the students estimated, and he made them even more conservative than what the students did. And he multiplied all these chances together to see what the chance would be that one person would fulfill all eight of these prophecies just by random luck, just by chance. What do you think the chances are? They calculated it all out, and here's where math gets really wild. It said there was one chance in 10 to the 17th power. He said, "What is the 17th power? I'll show you. It is one chance in 1 with 17 zeros behind it." That is the chance that Jesus would fulfill all eight of those prophecies by accident. Can you believe the story of the Bible? You say, "Well, Pastor, I can't really visualize that number. That's out of my, I don't know, maybe you make that much money, but I don't." Never seen that many zeros before. I can't visualize it. That's okay. Professor Stoner gave us an illustration. He said, "Imagine having that number of silver dollars." Now, some of you have never seen silver dollars. It's a little bit bigger than a quarter. Okay, imagine having that many silver dollars and then laying them out on the ground. If you did that, those silver dollars would cover a landmass the size of Texas twice. So two deep, we've got them stacked. So imagine that we've done that. We've laid them out all over the state, two deep, and we've marked one of them in all that. And then we blindfold you and tell you to walk across the state. And then when you're ready, reach down and pick one up. What are the chances that you'll find the one that is marked? That's the same chance it would be to fulfill eight of those prophecies. Can you believe the story of Jesus' birth at Christmas time? Friends, it was no accident. It was planned by God. Can you believe the Bible? And just in case you're still scratching your head, I don't know. Friends, it gets what? Even better. Because that was just eight prophecies. What if we added another 40 to the mix? What if we added 40 prophecies to the calculations and we did 48? The chances lower down from 1 in 10 to the 17th power to 1 in 10 to the 157th power. Science says that 1 in 10 to the 50th power is an impossibility. You say, "I don't know what that number looks like." Well, here you go. Count them up. So one with 157 zeros behind it. Count them. It wasn't hard typing them, so please count them up. It was very hard typing them. Jesus fulfilled all 48 of those prophecies. It's not an accident. And scholars believe that there's more than 48 prophecies in the Old Testament. Hundreds that deal with what we celebrate this time of year, the first advent of Christ. Professor Stoner got to his conclusion, and he put it this way. He said, from his probability calculations, that any person who rejects Christ as the Son of God is rejecting a fact proved perhaps more absolutely than any other fact in the world. That's the professor's conclusion. And if you want to read more about it, it's amazing. My head started to swim through all the facts and the figures, but you can read it. It's wonderful. But that's his conclusion. What about us? Do you now have a reason to believe? I have shown you the Bible's ability to predict Jesus' life, just like guessing correctly every age or weight guess at Adventureland. At what point will we say, this is not by chance? This is not just a good story to help us sleep at night. With all those correct guesses, with all these fulfilled prophecies, friends, I have to believe. Peter was one of Jesus' closest companions. He was one who was willing to live as a disciple in a world that was hostile to Christians. Peter, who was not only willing to live, but was willing to die for his belief in Jesus as the Son of God. He wrote something, and I want to close with this. So if you want to see it in your Bible, turn to the back of your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 1. And this is what we're going to be closing with today. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. Listen to what this man said, who was willing to live his faith and willing to die for his faith. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. And so, we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place. Has the light of the prophetic word begin to dawn into your heart today? It shines into a dark place until the day dawns and the morning. Listen to what this man said, who was willing to live his faith and willing to die for his faith. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. And so, we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place. Has the light of the prophetic word begin to dawn into your heart today? It shines into a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts. Knowing this first, that prophecy, no prophecy of Scripture is by any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. God is behind this book. He is the author. It has to be. I can explain it no other way. My friends, we can believe. As we close this sermon series about belief, I hope you can. The story is real. Our God is real. Jesus was born in a manger. The Christmas story is real. I believe it. Jesus died on a cross. The Easter story is real. I believe it. The witness of science and history and prophecy give me all that I need and more to believe. So as a result, I believe the incredible. I believe that Jesus rose from the grave. And so, I also believe what the Bible tells me, that he came once in a manger and that he's coming again. I believe it. Because it's just the next prediction. What about you? Today, do you believe? And if you do, does that belief make a difference in how you live? And if you do believe, this Christmas season, will you help others to believe too? Almighty Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for giving us all that we ever needed to believe this amazing book, to believe this amazing story. Thank you, Lord, for so long ago sending the angels to give the greatest news the planet had ever heard. But now, Lord, the planet is looking for people to share that great news. So may we know we can believe, may we have our reasons to believe, and then may we share it. With Lincoln, with Nebraska, with the United States, with Peru, with the entire world, because they need to hear. In Jesus' name, we believe. Amen.